terrible times that we're living in. There are things going on, and boy, just situations everywhere, isn't there? But thankfully, we know, like the old guy said, we know how the story ends, so we're looking for something better. Amen. Well, don't you take your Bibles again this evening. Look with me over in the book of Ephesians. We've been studying there for the last several weeks and talking about, you know, how a Christian stands. And we've gotten into chapter number 3 toward the end of it. And we got kind of a little, I don't know, we'd say a side look last time at some of the things that Paul was saying in this letter. And we're gonna talk about tonight the standing by the superiority of the support of spiritual strength. In other words, you need some spiritual strength to stand in these days. And that's exactly what we got to do. I mean, we've got to have some strength. And if you don't have any strength, boy, you're in trouble. I mean, just like physically. If you don't eat, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't get that bodily exercise, all those things that you need, then, man, you will not have any strength. And that's why I say you want it spiritually. But the good thing about having spiritual strength is Paul talks to this church and gives them the information on how he is praying for them to have this spiritual strength. And how, if you want to say, you know, he's praying that they get it. And the idea is this, that all of us can have it, and we need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other in that. I mean, there are some things that you uniquely go through, that I uniquely go through. Some of our situations, they're not the same, but we need the prayers of people that are the people of God. So we got to have that. Amen. So let's look here, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 3. Go back with me, if you will, to verse number 14. I know we covered some of these verses last time, or we talked about them and talked through them, and talking about, you know, how Paul prayed in two different times in this. Prayers are recorded in this writing, and one of them was for enlightenment, one of them was for enablement, and this is the prayer for the enablement of our Christian lives. Listen to what he says in verse number 14. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your goodness on us. Thank you for the ability to pray and to be able to pray for each other. Pray for those that need it tonight. And, Lord, there's many that just need prayer. They just need to be lifted up. They need to be held up. They need to look heavenward, and they need God to do some things mighty in their lives, and the Lord Jesus to love on them. And I pray you'd just do that for them, and I pray the Spirit of God would empower them tonight. And, Lord, all of us, that we'd be better workmen and greater soldiers for your cause, for your purpose. And we'll praise you for that. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Amen. As we're going to look at this, I said, you think about how Paul has written this and says, look, you are to be spiritually enabled. I mean, that's the idea of the text tonight. For this cause, he said, there's a reason that I'm bowing my knee and praying. Well, what is that reason? He said, well, it is for this cause, if you will. He said, the verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You need something to enable you to fight this Christian fight, to walk in this Christian light, to live the Christian life. You got to have something on the inside of you. Amen.
And that's why not just anybody, not just anyone, anywhere, hey, that says, well, you know, I go to church and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying. Listen, you've got to have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. As a matter of fact, Paul says over in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9, he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So what does that mean? That means you've got to have that Spirit on the inside of you, dwelling as a witness of the fact that you're saved. I mean, you got to have that to even realize you're saved. So let's just talk about that for a minute, if you will, and see some of the stuff that Paul says. First of all, I want you to notice that Paul mentions here in these verses, he is talking about the person that is of, the person of this support, the person that is behind this support, if you will, the person that's there for us in this support in verses 14, 15, and 16. Listen to what he says. For this cause, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This person that Paul is referring to in these verses throughout this entirety of the line of text, he's referring to God the Father. Now, he's going to talk about God the Son. He's going to talk about God the Holy Ghost. He's going to talk about everybody. But I'm just telling you, the main thing that he's saying right here is, I'm praying, and the person that I'm asking to support you is God the Father. I'm praying and I'm asking God for some things for your life. You need something. And he said, those things, what you need, is going to come from God the Father. And I'll tell you this, I'm glad of this, that Paul mentions this, because first of all, that tells us this as a fact, that you and I have an access to our Heavenly Father. You know what that means? That means me and you can come before our Father with our wants and our needs and our problems and our burden. We can come before our Father. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad that night? You can step right into the heaven's throne room and talk to your Father. Now, I don't know. I hope all of you have done that in time past or had that ability. If you don't have it now, or your children have that, they say, hey, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. You know what you do? You say, come on in, son. Hey, everything that you need, anything I can do, whatever it may be, you've got an access to come in to your Father. And aren't you glad that you and I have that kind of access toward our Heavenly Father? We were listening to somebody the other day on the radio that was talking about how, if you look in your Bible, the Word of God tells us that Jesus was the first person to ever approach God as, and mention Him as, the Father. Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus is telling the disciples, and He's got them gathered there on the, you know, the hillside, and he's preaching that Sermon on the Mount. As He's preaching to them, He says, you know, He's talking about praying. In chapter number 6, He begins to talk to him about praying. And then He gets to a point and He said, when you pray, He said, this is what you say. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, me and you, we've heard that, you know, probably all of our lives. I know we heard it when we was in elementary school, and I'm sure some of you have. And, of course, we went to church, and you'd hear preachers preach about it, and you'd hear Sunday school teachers and whoever. They'd get on that text, and it, you know, it just became sort of a non-idea. You know, I mean, it was just something we all knew, right? We talked about. But to the average Jew, they always feared God. They always reverenced God. They always held His name in esteem. They didn't even hardly mention the name of God. I mean, they had to be very careful when they wrote it. The scribes, if the scribes would write the name God, they would put the pen down, they'd throw it away, and they'd get a new pen to write the next word. That's how hallowed, that's how holy the name of God was. But can I tell you, me and you have an access to come to our Heavenly Father. Amen? You got an access. Paul says this. He says, look, for this cause I bow my knees. And I'm praying, in other words, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says there in verse number 15, he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, if we're saved, if we're part of that family, we have his name. Now, you know what people do nowadays for a big deal? I mean, it seems like a big deal. People will get on, you know, the Ancestry.com, or they'll get on those 23andMe or those kind of things like that, and they'll go back and they'll try to find out who their ancestors were. And some of y'all probably done that. I don't know if you have. That's fine. There's nothing unusual or nothing bad about that. But people want to go back and say, oh, well, guess who I was kin to? Well, hey, some of them that I'm kin to, I don't want to know who kin to, right? And some of y'all probably the same way. But you know, who are you kin? Aren't you glad that now you're saved and you can claim that you are in the family of God? Amen. You've got an access. You have a way to come and talk to your Heavenly Father. Amen. All right, so Paul says, look, this whole thing, I'm praying, and this is who I'm praying to, because we all have an access to our Heavenly Father. But not only that, he said, more than that, we have an acceptance and before the Father. Look what he says there in the beginning of verse number 16, that he would grant you. In other words, Paul's saying, we're all part of this family. And my prayer is that he would grant you whatever things I'm asking, and that you would ask for each other, and that you might even ask for somebody else. He said, you know why we can do that? Because we're accepted before our Heavenly Father. We have an acceptance. We have been accepted in the Beloved. Thank God me and you are part of the family, and because of that, you're accepted. Amen? You ever been around somewhere and try to get in at whatever kind of place it is, and they'd look at you and they'd say, can we see your credentials? Can we see your driver's license? Just who are you? And you know, what are you doing here? But isn't it amazing how somebody else can walk up to the same place and they look at them and say, oh, hey, Joe, come on in. We know you. And it's because, hey, they've already been previously accepted. They already know who they are. Can I tell you, when it comes to God, he knows who we are. He knows we're his, and we have been made accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So what I'm saying is this, man, there is a person that is there to provide us, and that is there to give us this support that you and I need. It is. And it's not some committee of men. It's not the Baptist Association. It's not the preacher group. It's not the deacon board. Thank God it's the Father in heaven above. Amen? So that is the person that is behind this support. But not only that, we talk about the person, but let's talk about the power that there is behind this support. Notice what he says in verse number 16. Again, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. But look what he says in the latter part of that verse, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul says, if you are going to have a spiritual enablement, again, it's got to be with your inner man. Now, I don't care how strong you are on the outside, you can't do spiritual things through the flesh. You might be, you know, outwardly good, and you might be kind and generous, and you know, all those kind of things. You might be every bit of that. But that doesn't carry any spiritual weight as far as the things of God go. Well, what does that mean, preacher? That means you and I have got to be strengthened with some kind of might, wherever this might that comes from God, he says, by his Spirit in the inner man. First of all, I want you to notice this. The power behind it is the invincible Spirit of God. I mean, you and I have got to have an inward Spirit of God. Again, in Romans 8 and 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Can I tell you, when you get saved, write this down somewhere, think about it, put it in your heart. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost of God moves into your life. Amen? I mean, he's in you. And aren't you glad that he is in you? Amen? Look over here in chapter number 4, and Paul begins to talk about how we are all together in oneness, if you will, down in chapter number 4. And look down in verse number 3. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look what he says. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope, you're called in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Hey, this thing is found to be powered by the Spirit. And there's just one Spirit. It is the Spirit of God in heaven above. Amen? It's the Spirit of God. It is an invincible Spirit. He says here in the text in verse 16, chapter 3, to be strengthened with might. And that word indicates power or ability or spiritual strength. You got to be strengthened with that. He says, here's how. By the Spirit of God. He didn't say eat your Wheaties every day. He didn't say go out and do push-ups, pull-ups, and ups and downs and all that. You know why? Some of us can't do it. Say amen right there. You ain't got no spiritual strength. I mean, you ain't got no physical strength sometimes. But you can still have spiritual strength. You can be empowered, and we do have to be empowered by that Spirit in our inner man. I mean, it's just one of those things that we got to have. I mean, we just absolutely have to have the Spirit of God, or we cannot do anything. Not by power, not by might, God said, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the only way we can do it. I mean, we can't do it, as I say, in and of ourselves. So, first of all, you got to have that invincible Spirit of God. Second of all, you got to have the indwelling Son of God. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, you need that inner Spirit of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You need the indwelling Son of God. And as I said, we said, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of his. And you know, people talk about being saved, and people get all sideways with some of the terminologies and all that. And then people say, well, how do you invite Jesus into your heart? I don't know, but my Bible just tells me right here that if I'm saved, Christ has got to dwell in my heart by faith. Amen? That's what that Bible just told me, right? Christ has got to dwell in your heart by faith. You gotta believe, and you've got to trust. You've got to put your confidence and your assurance in the fact of what Christ has done for you, and you've got to let him dwell on the inside of you by faith. And that's how you're saved. Amen? I mean, you know, he talked about over in chapter 2. We've read all those verses in chapter number 2. He says, not of works. You're saved by grace through faith, and not of yourself, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 10, he says, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has ordained that we should walk in the... How you going to do it? You got to have that inner part of you filled up with the Spirit, and then you've got to have an indwelling part of the Son of God on the inside of you. You got to have that Son of God in you. Jesus lives in me and you. Somebody say sometimes, and I guess we don't think about it probably like we ought to, but somebody said, well, I hope Jesus shows up when we go to church. He will. Just bring him with you. Amen. When you come in, hey, he may be more active, he may be more seen, it may be more pronounced at times, but if you're saved, you got him with you. Come on in and let that light shine. Amen. Because he is there on the inside of you. He is the indwelling. It Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Hey, I want him on the inside of me. Amen, don't you? I want him in there. And that's what Paul says. I'm praying that you will have that invincible, that powerful, that mighty Spirit of God. But I'm also praying that you'll have the indwelling of the Son of God. What else does he say? Well, he says this a little bit further, that you'll know the incredible love of the Son of God. Look what he says. He says that you, being rooted grounded, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see that? You got to have the love of the Son of God. I mean, you got to have that love. And when you've got that, man, I mean, look at what that does for you. I mean, he says here that you want to, you know, have Christ dwelling in you by faith. He said that, so that, if you will, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Now, I don't claim to know all those. I don't claim to have experienced necessarily all those things, but I sure would like to, wouldn't you? I mean, to know the breadth of the love of Christ. How wide is the love of Christ? I can't tell you, but because it is so wide. He said that you'd know the length. How long is it? Stretches as far can go. He says, and the depth. How deep is the love of Christ? I can't tell you. How high is it? I don't know. But thank God, I'm glad I'm right in there with it. Don't you? Amen. That's what Paul is saying. Look, to know the love of Christ. He said it passes all of our knowledge. Now, as I said, I can't figure this stuff out. I don't know it. I don't have it. I don't have that ability even to understand it. But I just know that I got it. Amen. You ever been in a church service where you just knew that you experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? You just got in a church service and like the old preacher said, man, it's just like they kicked the honey bucket over and it just poured all over everybody. I mean, you just ready to shout and run around and enjoy and somebody say, well, what's going on? I don't know, but I'm liking it, amen. That's the way that it is. I never understand it. But I'll tell you what, dip me out another bucket full. I like it, amen. I want some more of that. I enjoy the presence of the Lord, amen. You know, in that 23rd Psalm, David talks about how that, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And then he says, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And then what does he say after that? He said, my cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Boy, when your cup gets to running over, I mean, when it gets so good with the presence of God and you just don't, you know that he loves you. You know that he has just put his loving arms around you and you can't understand why. You don't know how you became the recipient of that. You don't know why in the world he's doing it, but he's doing it. Woo! It's just good, ain't it? Amen. You'll never figure it out. Paul says, look, I'm praying that you'll comprehend it. Well, I mean, I just, you know, if I say I could comprehend it, I just know that I got in it. Amen. It's just kind of like when you get in a mud hole, you know it, don't you? Y'all ever got in a mud? Mama didn't like it too good when we got in a mud hole. But we got in one. You know how we could tell? Because we had mud all over us. Amen. You've been in the mud hole. Yeah. Hey, can somebody see that you've been down to church house and you got in the middle of the glory and God just got all over you and you got out in the public and somebody said, you've been down to church. You've been with God. You've been in his presence. How'd you know? Because I can see it on you. Amen. Isn't that what happened to Moses? Moses was up in the mountain and he told the Lord, he said, I just can't go on anymore unless you show me your glory. Over in the book of Exodus in chapter 32, he said, I just can't go on. I can't do this. I can't. You ever get there? You ever get to where you say, I just cannot. I cannot continue. I cannot go on. I just feel like, and we've all been there, right? But the Lord said, well, guess what? He told Moses, he said, you can't see me and live. He said, but there's a place up here by me. Woo, aren't you glad there's a place up there by him sometime? And he'll hide you. He said, I'm going to put you in this cleft of this rock. and I'm going to cover you over with my hand, and I'm going to cause my glory to pass by, and you're just going to get to see the backside of it, but it'll be enough. Amen. And when Moses came down from the mountain, what happened? They had to cover his face with a veil because that glory shone so brightly. Amen. I mean, it will make a difference in your life when you experience these things that Paul's talking about, that comprehend what's the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ. He said it passes knowledge, which passeth knowledge. He said, but when you get it, he said, you get to be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. And that's where we want to be, right? And Paul said, I'm praying this for you. I'm praying that you will have that crazy fullness of God that man, you just don't know what to do with it. Amen? I've seen people, and I hope you have, I've seen people get into services, and son, I mean, you'd think some of them was drunk. And they was, but it was on some new wine. It was some of the stuff of God. I've seen them just rejoice and run around in circles and just get excited for what the Lord was doing, and that he just showed up and the glory just came down. And you can't even explain it. You don't know. I've seen them laugh and cry and hoop and holler. And I'm not saying that happens every time. I've been in some services where the Lord just pulled in and parked, and it was just so quiet. And it was so peaceable, and it was so serene. I mean, you just sit there, and it's just like, man, there's something in here like a fog, but I sure don't want it to go away. I want to just sit here and bask in the glory of that for a while. Amen? And that's to know the incredible love of the Son of God. He is our Savior, and we ought to want to know that depth and that height of those things with him. All right, let's look at one last thing, if you will. Talk about the person of this support and the power behind this support. But now I want you to look with me, if you will, in these last couple of verses, and let's talk about the potency of this support. I mean, just look how powerful and how strong and how good this support is. Paul is talking, and I've told y'all, you know, when you look at this, he just kind of gets into preacher drive right here. He says, now unto him. I mean, he's just kind of, he said, this is what I've been praying. He said, and now I just want to say, now unto him. Unto him, he said, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's talking about this power that he's just been talking about. I'm praying that you'll have this power, that this presence. I want you to have the power of God in your life. He said, now, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He said, I'm through praying now. But you know what? He ain't going to shut up. He's going to keep on going here for about three more chapters, right? But he says, here's the potency of this. And look at this as he begins to talk about the potency that there is in this spiritual support that we're getting from the empowerment, the enablement of God. First of all, look at the ability of this. Look at how Paul describes the ability. He says, in verse number 20, now unto him that is able. You know what? I think if he'd just put a period there and said, he's able. But look what he said. He's able to do, not just able to do what we ask or think. He says, exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Can you imagine the ability that God really has? We haven't touched it yet. I mean, seriously, we unto him, and Paul says, you think about him, think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you think about them, you think about him and all that he is able to do. He said, well, Paul says, well, he's able to do way above whatever you think. I mean, exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever think of him doing. I mean, it's like There is nothing that you and I could imagine in our minds and say, well, can God do this? Yes, He can do. Jesus said it this way. He said, with men, these things are not possible. He said, but with God, all things are possible. When you realize that He has all the strength and all the power and all the ability that He has, I mean, look at the ability of this. He says, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, you can't think of something. Well, I bet God can't do that. I bet He can. Amen. You know, I told you the story about the man that was sort of a atheist, and the little boy coming home down the street, been to Sunday school, and the man knew the little boy, and he knew he'd been to church. He's all dressed up. He started talking to the little boy, and he said, son, he said, been to church? Yeah. He said, you believe in God? And that little boy said, mister, I really believe in God. He said, well, let me ask you a question, little boy. He said, can you tell me, since you've been to church and you go to church, will you tell me where God is, and I'll give you a dollar bill? That little old boy looked up and said, mister, if you can tell me where God ain't, I'll give you $5. Amen? And buddy, let me just tell you, that's the answer to the question. We have a God that is everywhere and can do anything and everything at all times. Amen? That's the kind of God that we got. And that's the kind of God that we want. So you look at His ability. But not only look at His ability, second of all, look at His availability. Look what He says. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He says, according to the power that worketh in us. The availability, it's available for us. It's going to work in us. Now, to say that God's powerful and God can do all, that's great. But you know what Paul just said? He said, it works in us. It's within and can be within us. Now that's not to tell you me and you're some kind of he men and he women and we're just, you know, all of this. But when God begins to work in and through a man or woman's life, there's some things that can be done that are spiritually driven that people can't understand. I mean, people say, well, I want you to pray about, you know, XYZ, whatever it is. Yeah, and we begin to pray. And then God begins to move. You know why that is? Because, hey, He has that power. It's within us. We begin to pray, and God begins to do some things. When we begin to praise and worship Him, and God begins to move in heaven because His children love Him, and His children cry to Him, His children call on Him, and God begins to do some things. Hey, can I tell you? That's the power that's available to every one of us that believe Him. We stymie it, we stuff it, we push it down, we ignore it, we push it aside. Hey, we ought to just lift it up and say, God, amen, I know that You're able, and use me. I don't know how You're going to use me. I don't know how You're going to work through me. He can use your mouth. He can use your feet. He can use your hands. He can use your eyes. He can use your money. He can use your life. He can use any part of you that He wants to when you and I would just yield ourselves and say, I realize that He is available, and my availability counts toward Him. Amen? Your availability ought to count toward Him. All right, one last thing. Look at with me, if you will. The ability, the availability, and then I want you to look at the accountability. Notice what he says there in verse number 21. He says, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus or Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He said, the church ought to be bringing Him glory. That's what I'm saying about our accountability. We're accountable, church. We ought to be bringing praise and honor and glory to our Lord. Boy, people will say, well, what's wrong with the church? I can tell you what's wrong with us. We're dead as a hammer. Amen? I mean, hey, stand up and just say hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank God for Jesus. I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. Why is that, preacher? Because your Bible tells you that he inhabits the praises of his people. He's right in the middle. When you praise him, that's what he wants. Now, how do you think that the walls of Jericho fell down? Now, I realize the obedience of the children of God was a big part of it. But God told him, he said, don't you go out there and circle that city around. Walk around it. Don't say a thing. Don't do a thing. Do it one time a day for 6 days. They'd go out there and walk around that city, go back home. Could you imagine some of them saying, boy, this is nutty. What are we doing? What have they got? Well, I'm just telling you, Joshua's kind of lost his mind. We're out here walking around, and we ain't doing nothing. And God said he's going to give victory. When's this going to happen? And the Lord said, here's the seventh day. Walk around it seven times. And when I give you the signal, blow your horns, make some noise, and get ready for something to happen. And when they did, they marched around, they went around, and then they began to shout the praises, the glory, and the victory, and shout for their Lord, and the walls of Jericho fell down. Amen? As I say, I know part of that is the obedience, and that is it. But I'm telling you, part of our obedience is we ought to praise him. Amen. Book of Hebrews tells us this in chapter number 13, that you ought to give him what? The fruit of your lips, which are praises unto our God. Your mouth ought to be praising God for what he's doing for you. Amen. I mean, if you have to, make it a habit. Amen. Just if you got to, somebody says something, you ought to say, praise God for that. They'll look at you kind of funny. And some of them won't know what to do with it, and some of them will think, you've lost your mind or whatever. But just go ahead and praise God. How you doing? I'm doing great. Praise God. I'm feeling good. Praise God. Hey, I had a great day. Praise the Lord. They look at you like, you need some medicine or something, boy. I mean, you know, something wrong with you. I mean, right? And I remember Brother Larry Underwood was our pastor at one time at Union Avenue, and then he was over at Liberty Baptist on Johnson Road for quite a while. But you begin to talk to him, you say, hey, doing today, Brother Larry? He'd say, fine, thanks to Calvary. And that's always a door opener for you to somebody that you're talking to. When somebody asks you, hey, and you say, fine, thanks to Calvary, I mean, they're looking at you like, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me and for you on Calvary. And that gives you an opportunity to do what? To praise his name. I mean, as I said, we are accountable with our worship, with our praise. Now, look, I know, I've been there, we all have. We come in the church house, and I mean, I get like everybody else sometimes. God, if you can do anything, go ahead. I doubt it. I mean, hey, look at this crowd. Amen. I mean, this ain't going to be much. But you know what? It doesn't take an absolute crowd. It doesn't take hundreds. It doesn't take thousands. It doesn't take tens of thousands. To worship God. I'm just telling you, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. I'll be there in the midst of them. And if you and I will just get together and we'll just praise him and thank him, sing about him, just go ahead and do it. Amen? And you know what? He'll get honor and glory out of that. He'll look down from heaven and he'll say, there's some of my little kids down there. Listen to them. They're singing about my name. Somebody say, yeah, they're off key. That's all right. They're singing about my name. They're glorifying me. They're praising me. Amen? Can I tell y'all something? Here's a secret. When my kids was little, they couldn't sing a note. Amen? And some of y'all probably can't either. But didn't you just, they'd sing, hallelujah, you did a great job. Amen? Why? Because that's your kid. You love for them to do what they were doing, right? That's the way God is, and so much more toward us as his children. He wants us to praise his name. Amen. We're accountable. And Paul says here, unto him be glory in the church. Man, are we guilty of that? Is there glory in the church? I mean, the church ought to be, well, what are we supposed to be glorifying? Him. In the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages. World without end. Because you know what? One of these days, that's all you're going to be doing. Down here, we ought to do it. We're going to be doing it over there. And you know what they're doing in heaven? They ain't over there singing some sad country song. They ain't over there saying, I got a tear in my beard and all that mess. They ain't over there playing golf and swimming in the crystal sea. They're not doing, they're praising the name of the Lord. Why? Well, you go over there in the book of Revelations and you'll see in chapter number 5 where it talks about, John said, I saw a crowd, he said 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, and they were all saying, worthy is the Lamb. He said, you know what? For thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred, every nation, every tongue, every people. You saved us all, and we're just going to worship you. You know what? Get yourself tuned up a little bit in advance. Amen? Brother Mark comes over here sometime. He get back there with that guitar, and you know what he does? He gets that string, he'll pluck on them, he'll ding, 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 ding. He'll tune it up. Why? He's getting ready to play. You're getting ready to shout and glorify God one of these days. Just go ahead and tune up right now. Just have a little praise the Lord kind of, if it's a fit or a spell or whatever you want to have, it'd be all right. Just get in practice because, hey, one of these days that's what you're going to be doing all the time. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight, if you will, and we'll just get ready to pray here in a few minutes. But